Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Baby, Kitty Caraway joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? I don't know who's the best dressed man in Sacramento. Is it Damian Barling or Kitty Caraway?
I thought it was Kyle Madsen.
No, guys. I mean, Kyle Madsen can dress.
He's got great hats, so I'll give that to Madsen.
He ain't wearing Gucci into the studio.
No.
He's not wearing Louis Vuitton.
Doing flannels like you.
Yeah, he's not wearing big Cuban links around their neck.
Is he
around a sweater?
Are we getting the ascots like Charles Woodson?
This guy walks into the studio with a cardigan and a Cuban link around his neck that cost about $40,000. Damn, it must be. Hey, the money must be flowing in Sacramento, man. The 916. Damn, I'm in the wrong market.
Hey, look, man, do we need to pull up Baby Chaz's birthday pics again? Do we need to do that?
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I had the little birthday hat on, right?
Oh, no. I saw some Medusas. I saw a Medusa head on there, man, so we already know what that means.
Hey, the only thing I'm disappointed about is I didn't take the chains out that day. Damn it. No, and I'm trying to get like you guys up there in Sacramento, but it's my boy Spadoni, man, just brought up Buddy Hield. And before last night, Buddy had missed 23 of his last 25 three-point attempts. And, you know, the first 15 games, it was all good, right? They're 12-3, the Warriors, that is. And Buddy's lighting it up, and people are already saying, oh, Buddy over Clay. Clay who? I said, wait, just hold your horses real quick. And Kings fans are telling me, just wait, Bonte, just wait. Now, I still got hope that Buddy Hield will get his shot back. But, boy, the struggle's been real. He shot 30% from three in the month of December. Is this who Buddy Hield is? Have we just not watched the rest of the NBA the last decade?
Short answer, yes, this is who Buddy Hield is. That's just what it is. That's who he is. Now, look, here. So Buddy's a little complicated. You talk to a lot of people out here in Sacramento about Buddy Hield, and they won't have too many nice things to say about Buddy. Buddy is fine with me. Like, he's fine. Like, the reason why he gets a lot of hate is because he literally thinks he's Kobe. Like, he's like, no, I'm Kobe. Give me the ball. Like, I'm a cook. Buddy Buckets is a real thing. I thought at the beginning of the season, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, yo, this is crazy. This guy's shooting like 58% from three. He can't miss. He's hitting off the dribble. I said, this is crazy. Now you see the way he's playing right now. And I don't believe this is – he's not going to be like this the whole year. You know, he's just an up-and-down guy. I think I always thought with the Warriors, it was a good fit for him because they had enough guys around him where he could just focus on catching and shooting or, you know, shot hunting and things of that nature. Now, the problem is if you're getting Buddy Hield doing that on about 8 to 12 shots a night, cool, 12 is kind of pushing it a little bit. But sometimes he out here taking 17, 18, 19 shots. Like, all right, man, you're doing a little too much now. And that's the thing. Buddy in moderation, that's really the key. And if he can slow down, like, just his the amount of shots that he takes, right. I think you could see those averages dip up a little bit. But right now, he's pressing, man. He's in a cold streak. He'll get out of it, but he's in a cold streak. When he gets cold, he get ice cold.
Yeah, no, we're finding that out right now, man. He hit a three last night and looked at the heavens and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. But what did you make of Draymond Green the other night? Oh, last Saturday against Phoenix. Where he's yelling at Buddy Hield and said, wake the bleep up. Or go sit the bleep down. I say, damn, you coming at Buddy like that, man? But you know what? They won the game. And Draymond said, look, I'm going to talk to him like that. And then he throws his
course.
Draymond goes, yeah. What did he say? I know Buddy hasn't played a lot of meaningful basketball over the course of his career. I'm like, damn, what you making that with Draymond? Was it appropriate? Was it needed?
Hey, it was understandable. It was understandable. And then you know how it is with Draymond here in Sacramento. But at that moment, we were connected. All right, we were
the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
We feel you, Trey. We feel you, big dog. We've been saying this for I don't know how long. It happens. It happens with Buddy Hill. Like sometimes somebody needs to yell at him. Somebody's gonna yell at him. Somebody's gonna look at him crazy. I remember one time, Buddy got the ball. Tyrese Halliburton was still here. Buddy got the ball with the game clock running down, end of the third quarter or something like that, and takes a dribble at half court, lets it go, right? Misses. Tyrese Halliburton runs down, catches the ball, puts it back in at the buzzer. So me telling you that story lets you know how much time was on the clock when Buddy shot a half-court shot at the end of the buzzer. Tyrese got the rebound, put it back up and in before the buzzer. And Tyrese gets the ball, puts it in. He don't even celebrate. He looks at Harrison Barnes like, what's this guy doing? Like, what is he doing? That's the Buddy Hield experience right there. Draymond got a piece of it. And like I said, we was connected on Saturday night, and we was all like, oh, we feel you, Dre. We feel you. We're not always on the same page, but we feel you on this one, big dog.
Talking to Kenny Caraway, co-host of D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320 in Sacramento, our sister station over there, and the Warriors and Kings obviously play on Sunday. And Kenny, I'm just thinking right now, like 2 years ago, these teams met in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs, and since then, it's been... Not a dumpster fire, that's really strong, but it's just not been good basketball between both of these teams. Obviously, last year in the play-in, Kings won that game but failed to make the playoffs. What the hell has happened to the Sacramento Kings in the last few seasons since that Game 7 matchup at Golden 1 Center?
Man, it's crazy. You know, you talk about 2 years ago and you talk about Kings versus Warriors, and people are talking this year, what's wrong with the NBA? They don't have any rivalries. That was supposed to be it. Kings Warriors are supposed to be. Yeah, I know we go back and forth, and you know the Warriors are the Warriors. You know they move the needle. They're the ratings and all. But you need a dance partner, right? You need a dance partner a lot of these times to have these mega ratings sometimes. And that was the dance partner, the Warriors, the behemoth that was the Golden State Warriors with the madness that was Golden 1 Center and the Beam Team and all this other stuff. That was supposed to be one of them rivalries that was going to help the NBA moving forward. And both of these teams have just fell flat on their face in the last 2 years. Sacramento, I mean, there's so much going on. There's so much disappointment for what happened this year. You know, you get DeRozan in the summer, and you feel like that's going to be something that's going to propel you to back to the playoffs and a little bit more. And it has been the exact opposite so far. You know, they're four games under 500. They fired Mike Brown at this point, who just won Coach of the Year. Less than 2 seasons ago. And, you know, they're struggling. They're doing what they can to keep their head above water right now. They got Doug Christie in there, and a lot of people are upset about what happened with Mike Brown. A lot of people are upset, and I understand it. I didn't like it either. You know, I didn't like Mike Brown having to leave, and I didn't like the way it went down as well. I understood it, though. And then you look at Doug Christie. I'm a big believer in Doug Christie. I think Doug Christie is a leader of men, which is something that they were missing in this locker room. And he gets people to believe in what he's saying. And he's 2-1 in his first three games. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe it'll just be the same thing because the roster does have a lot of shortcomings. Maybe it'll be the same thing. But I don't know, man. I'm here to put it on wax, man. I think Doug Christie is going to do a lot of good things with the Sacramento Kings, starting with this interim time that he has right now, man. I'm a big, big believer in Doug Christie. His time is now, and I think he's going to do a really good job.
You know, Casey, I watched you guys on the live stream the moment Mike Brown got fired. It was entertaining radio. Damian Barling set the tone. And I was like, was the FCC listening? But yeah, I heard
don't
you guys
were in front of Baby Chess.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, I had to turn it down. And Baby Chess looks at me, he's like, oh, Papa, he said bad word. And I'm like, yeah, bad words are not good. But in that case, I feel the pain. I feel the passion. Even Kyle Madsen jumped in an Uber or something. I don't know where Madsen was at. I was like, damn, they got to live in Sacramento. I'm locked in for this. But after the shock wore off about Mike Brown being fired and the way it went down, a lot of grief and a lot of heat went towards De'Aaron Fox. To the point where I saw De'Aaron Fox tweet at somebody saying, yeah, nah, you guys got this all messed up here. I'm not the reason Mike Brown got fired. But how are Sacramento fans now, despite Fox saying that, hey, we don't know what happened with Mike Brown. We don't know if Fox had something to do with it or not. From what I hear, he didn't. But how are Kings fans viewing Fox now after not only the Mike Brown firing, but the Rich Paul meetings with the Sacramento Kings brass, in which we don't know if Fox is going to be there in Sacramento long term? Have Kings fans sort of turned on Fox right now?
There's a contingent of fans who, you know, are frustrated with De'Aaron Fox, and some of it comes from just him by nature, right? Like, he's kind of a low key guy. He's not a rah rah guy. He's just kind of chill. And goes about his business. One of the frustrations that a lot of people have had is he just hasn't done the whole takeover games thing enough in his career. You know, he kind of lets the game come to him, and it sometimes can be a little passive. And with his talent level, because Monte and Sam, he is one of the most talented basketball players in his generation. Like, he's got it. He's got it like that. And, you know, the fact that he didn't do that on a consistent basis frustrated people. But they love De'Aaron Fox here. They love De'Aaron Fox here to the depths, to the end. And they're frustrated, they're scared, they're worried that he might leave. But if De'Aaron Fox wants to stay, the city's going to welcome him with open arms until he decides he doesn't want to be here anymore. Because he was on his way to being the greatest king of all time. And if he stays, that's where he's going to get to. But, you know, he got him to the playoffs. He broke the streak. He gets the credit for all of that. Sometimes I just think Damian says this a lot. He, talking about Damian, thinks that he knows how good De'Aaron Fox is more than De'Aaron Fox knows. You know what I mean? And that's what frustrates people from time to time. But as far as turning on De'Aaron Fox, not at all. Not at all. This is his city. This is his city, man. And we're going to ride with him as long as he's here.
Talking with Kenny Caraway, co-host of D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320, and Zach Joe Spadoni alongside Bonte Hill here. And Kenny, we can pivot a little bit to the San Francisco 49ers, because obviously you guys cover the Niners out there a very high level. And just another disappointing season. We're talking about disappointing seasons of the Kings and Warriors thus far, but a tremendously disappointing season for the San Francisco 49ers, who were just a year ago had the dreams of hoisting a Lombardi trophy. And now those dreams seem very far away. How would you evaluate this past season for, you could pick and choose who you want to talk about, but I mean, the biggest name obviously is the guy that's going to get paid probably, and that's Brock Purdy. What did you think of his season and, you know, his upcoming payday?
He had a good but not great season. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, if you look at the numbers, and there's more to it, like, I watch the games, you know, so sometimes you look past the numbers. The numbers will tell you he's the top 10 quarterback. You know, the numbers will tell you probably he's closer to 5 than he is to 10. You know, you look at, you know, a lot of those numbers, and it supports that. I watched the games this year just like everybody else, and he wasn't always comfortable. His decision-making wasn't always there. But I thought he had a good season. I think he's under a super microscope, which is just the nature of the beast. But I thought he was good this year, considering, you know, you look at that offense sometimes, and there was second stringers and rookies all over the place. I mean, how many running backs did these guys go? They went through about 6 running backs this year. Their first-round pick got shot.
Yeah.
I didn't stutter. The first-round pick got shot in the chest.
Right down the street from our studio. I walk by there every day, and he got shot in the chest, for crying out loud.
I mean, my goodness. Christian McCaffrey, the biggest weapon that, you know, anybody has in the NFL a lot of the time, at least this past season, was he wasn't there for much of the season. The best left tackle maybe in the history of the game, or one of the best left tackles in the history of the game, was in and out of the lineup. George Kittle was in and out of the lineup. My man Debo, who I love, he looks like he's a shell of himself a lot of the times. And Brandon Ayuk ripped his knee apart halfway through the season. And still with all that, you look at Brock Purdy, you know, he's top 10 in yards. The touchdowns weren't there. They had a red zone issue or whatever the case may be. But you look at the QBR, you look at the completion percentage, you look at the average yards per pass and all this other stuff. It's still up there. It's still up there. And I think, you know, do I want to give him $60 million? No. But that might also be just kind of what the market dictates. I don't think he will. I think they'll find a way to get him more than Trevor Lawrence. That's the key. That's the killer right there. He'll get more than Trevor Lawrence, but maybe not as much as Dak. And I think he deserves it. I believe in Brock Purdy. And much like everybody said, well, he's no good without Callen around him. Yeah, no, yeah. Almost cursed. Yeah, of course. Like, you need talent around you to be good. And Brock Purdy is no different than any other quarterback in this league. So, yeah, I'll tell you, man. No reservations.
JC, with the way Parag Marah taking, draw contracts, who's to say it's not a 2-year deal with opt outs after the first year or second year? Hell, if it's a 5-year deal, you can opt out after 1 year. It's the Jimmy G contract where you have a chance to get out of the contract every April. So I'm not worried about 50 to 60 million because you're right. What quarterback without talent is going to thrive? We saw Mahomes in the Super Bowl with no offensive line couldn't score more than 9 points. All right. We saw Tom Brady in Super Bowls struggle because his offensive line couldn't block. His last year in New England, I thought Brady was washed. I thought he was washed, but then you look at the roster around him, it's like, well, that wasn't really a good roster. So nobody's going to thrive. You need your offensive line, as you mentioned, a running back situation, and you need some receivers who can beat man coverage. Beat man coverage. Yes. Now, let's end this conversation with this, because I'm glad I don't think Jed York had to come out and say that Shanahan and Lynch are coming back. We already knew that, unless you're a dumbass who thinks that teams are going to fire these guys after one down year. That's just idiotic talk right there. So they're coming back. We know that. Brock Purdy's probably going to come back as well. But one guy I looked at on Monday Night Football last week against Detroit, and he got one target. Now, the one target went for a touchdown, but it was on a jet sweep. Deebo Samuel. I feel like we're going to see Deebo Samuel, if he does suit up, for the last time on Sunday against Arizona. What do you think about that, KC? It feels like he's playing out the string here.
Man, Deebo is, I talk about this all the time on the show, he's my favorite 49er in a long time. Him and Fred Warner. I love the current iteration of 49ers. I love those two guys. Deebo is my guy, but Deebo is washed. He's finished. He's not the same. You know, you guys, I talk about this on the show often, right? You remember the movie Little Big League?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where the kid took over the manager position for the Twins?
Yep.
And
yep.
He had the old great, like the old Will Clark type guy that he loved, and he was struggling. And the guy... the old Will Clark type guy, he gets a seeing eye single in the right field. And the little kid goes, he tells the little adult assistant manager, he says, see, look at him, he got that hit. He still got it. And the guy tells him, that was a single to right field. If you're excited about that, that tells you everything that you need to know about where he's at. And that's how I feel when I see Deebo on a jet sweep go for 11 yards. I'm like, look at Deebo, he got 11 yards on that one. Guy used to go 40 yards to the house, and I'm up here getting hyped because he goes 11 yards on a jet sweep. My man is finished, man. He's finished, man. And I think we've seen the last of him as a 49er. And, you know, it's time to regroup. You talk about this 49ers team. I don't think that they need a complete rebuild. I think there's still young talent there. You still got your Warners. You still got, the guys up front like Pony. You got Purdy. You might have found something in Jordan Mason and all those guys and stuff like that. You got Deamon or Lenore. You got some young guys still around there, but you got to reload. You got to retool some of this stuff. And it starts at that wide receiver position. I like Pearsall, but you got to get another receiver because I think Deebo's gone. Brandon Ayuk, I love him too, but I'm just being real with you guys. I'd be surprised if he looked anything like he looked previous to this knee injury ever again. I mean, that knee was ripped to shreds. And I can't imagine he comes back at any point in his career looking like Brandon Ayuk. I hope I'm wrong, but you got a plan for that. So I think at some point you got to look at maybe getting 2-3 receivers in this offseason to kind of bolster this offense. So you're going to have to retool some stuff, man. And I think John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, they're the guys that can get the job done. Yep. But you know how much I like Kyle. You know that's my dog, too. The clock has started.
Yeah.
The clock has started. Yeah.
No doubt. Clock has started, but he's not going anywhere. And they'll be recharged. I think they need to fix the trenches as well. Defensive line, offensive line, they'll fix that. But I think the Niners will be back in contention next season for the NFC. But, hey, Kenny, it's on Sunday, the first round between the Warriors and Kings. You know, Monday shows are going to be lit. Monday show's going to be lit. You know, I can't let you guys come down to the dental office and come away with the win. I got to give you guys some root canals, some Novocaine, put some braces on your mouth. I'm telling you right now, man, it's going down on Sunday.
It's going to be a quick little teeth cleaning real quick. You know what I mean? It's going to be real quiet in there. Real quiet. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to worry about nothing. It's going to be real quiet in there. And, you know, to be honest with you, You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid of Buddy Hield, man. Remember when Harrison Barnes, remember when Harrison Barnes hit for 39 on the Warriors last year?
I do remember that.
I can see Buddy Hield trying to go off, man. I'm worried about Buddy Hield, man. He might get his groove back on Sunday.
Hey, man, he might start cooking. I can't wait for that. You guys got the Grizzlies tonight. The Warriors have the Grizzlies Saturday.
No
so
job.
I need you to run them into the ground, tire those legs out, so we could, you know, make quick work of them on Saturday. And then Sunday, we'll see you down here at the dental office. Let's go.
That's the plan. And I think it's a back-to-back. I think Steph don't need to play two nights in a back-to-back. gotta look at that knee a little bit, man. Yeah. Gotta look at that knee. So, you know what I'm saying? Have him play against the Grizzlies. He can sit out against the Kings. It's good.
Oh, and you know, the Sabonis may get the Draymond flu. You know that may happen.
Don't do that to Dre. Don't do that to Sabonis. Don't do that. My boy going to be ready to go.
All right,
stop the yard part four. There you go.
hey, relax over there. Relax over there, all right? Danny's playing well. He's a champion to change.
Yeah.
Or KC, always good to talk to you, my brother.
Always love, man. Y'all take care. Bonte, Joe. I think I said Sam earlier.
It's
Joe,
okay. You and Baldy both. Yeah, Baldy called me Sam four different times the other day.
Sam is on my screen. That's why I said
okay,
that.
Gotcha.
Hey, you know what? The way Joe been talking about my Warriors, man, you can call him whatever the hell you want to, KC. Hey,
Kenny would be coming on my side. I'm saying trade Draymond now. The value's at an all-time high.
He wants to trade Draymond for Jimmy Butler. I want nothing to do with Jimmy Butler right now. I want nothing to do with that guy.
Hey, the trick-or-treat Draymond, you don't know what you're getting every night. Sometimes you play good, sometimes you don't.
Hey, none of that's been happening this year. He's a champion to change.
Yeah.
He showed a lot of leadership this season. All right? Leave my boy alone. KC, have a good Friday, my brother. Have a good show up there.
Y'all take care, man. I'll take care, bro.
Anytime. Kenny Caraway, ESPN 1320. Damian Barley and Kenny.